Hello, and welcome to the Son of a Geek. I'm Stork, but I'd rather be Nick Fury. And let's jump straight into our first topic, which is always the weekend box office. Coming in at number one, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse made $19 million for a total of $316 million out 4 weeks. So it regained the top spot, I believe. I think the Flash won last week, right? And Flash didn't even come in at number two. Elemental was number two with $18 million for a total of $65 million. Flash comes in at number three, $15 million for $87 million. And Otter had commented, he agreed with me that he thought that was a slow start for the Flash. And there's reasons, of course, why that would be. Yeah, that seems to be like it should, after 2 weeks, it should be $100 million movie. But, you know, the main star is a little problematic. Let's put it that way. New movie coming in and forth, No Hard Feelings, the J-Law flick, comedy, raunchy comedy, $15 million. Pretty mediocre opener, but, I mean, it came in fourth, so whatever. For a comedy, I don't know, is that good. I would think opening weekend for a comedy probably want double that, especially with a star of her caliber. But it didn't look great to me. I have no desire to see it. Transformers Rise of the Beasts made another $11 million for $123 after 3 weeks. It's probably respectable-ish, but again, low. Asteroid City opened to a wider audience, made $9 million for a total of $10 million. Little Mermaid, chugging along, made another $8 million for $270 million. Now we're talking. Like, there's the big one. Spider-Man, Little Mermaid. Guardians made another $3 million for $351 million, came in at the 8th spot. The Blackening made $3 million for $12 million total. And The Boogeyman, still in the top 10. Made $2.5 million for $37 million. And again, for a horror movie, maybe that's not so bad. I actually do want to see it. As far as like the studios, of course, shockingly, I probably have said this before, but The Boogeyman is a Walt Disney motion picture studio production, which that's surprising to me because I believe that's a rated R horror movie. Maybe it's PG-13, but I think it's R. And they've got four of the top 10. Everything else is pretty much spread out among other production companies. And I just feel like, are the production companies going to collapse into bigger conglomerations that represent what we have with streaming also? I don't know. That'll be the one thing that's worrisome that film buffs worry about is like, well, are we just going to get blockbusters and nothing of substance, quote unquote. And I always poo-pooed that. Yeah, theaters might die, but I thought we'd still get some good, I say good, but I mean interesting, different movies just on a different, in a different way, even if it's different streaming services providing them. But they still have to have a studio that's willing to put that out there. And will studios be willing to take chances on quirky, smaller films that might be really good if they can't get a movie release or just even if they're tied to a streaming service and they think, well, what's the point of putting this on a streaming service? We're not going to get new eyes on this. So, yeah, that's a little concerning from that standpoint, I guess. Those movies typically don't appeal to me, but some of them do. And it would almost be like shutting out smaller independent movies that some of my favorites have come from. Honestly, yeah, I love the big budget blockbuster action comic book. Even well, I'm kind of souring on them a little bit lately, but I love those movies, and that's why I go to a theater. If I go, is for something big and bombastic. I really don't go, and so I'm not putting my money where my mouth is in supporting the smaller things in a theater because I don't feel like the theater experience is necessary for them. But I always thought, like, well, they'll still get an eyes or a platform somewhere, even if it's streaming. But I don't know. as these production companies narrow, maybe they would be less willing to do it. So maybe I'm wrong. No, that can't be the case. It's the children who are wrong, right? If Principal Skinner taught me anything, is that. Well, let's move on to getting to know you. Had a bit of a issue last night, as of this recording, with one of our dogs in the bed. Our older dog, Stella. She gets scared with thunderstorms, and we did have thunderstorms all night. And not when we went to bed, though. And I had looked at the forecast, and it seemed like it was going to be pretty clear. So at midnight, she starts shaking. And when she shakes, she just vibrates. It's really weird. She just you put a quarter in the bed and it shakes. It's what it's like when she's laying next to you. So small dog, though, like 30-pound beagle mix, but it's noticeable. So I thought, well, there must be a thunderstorm. I'm going to get up. I'm going to make her go outside because I don't want her to have an accident in the house. This is what happens sometimes if you just get her up and let her out and she just goes about her way. And then next thing you know, you're standing in a puddle. So I actually go to pick her up off the bed and I feel this thing on my head. And at first, you know, I'm like sleep daze. And I was like, oh, it's like a spider web or something. So I kind of just brushed away, whatever. And I'm picking her up and then all of a sudden it's in my ear and it's like fluttering. And I'm like, I just brush it away. So I'm carrying her downstairs to let her outside. And I'm thinking as I'm kind of waking up, there was like a bug in there. So that's odd. Something was going on. And so I let her out. I go outside with her. This is probably 12:30 or so. And, you know, she pees. And I look up at the sky and I'm like, wow, I can see like every star in the sky as much as you can see in the outskirts of a city with all the light pollution. How dare you, Greta? And so I look around and I'm like, there's no way this is thunder or lightning related because there's not a cloud to be seen. So I'm thinking like, yeah, that she's probably freaking out because there's a bug in the room. So something definitely brushed against my ear a couple times. So I go up and put her back in the bed. No, actually, I didn't even put her back in. I just walked in and I just like abruptly lean over to Peacock, my wife. And I'm like, hey, put the cover over your head. I'm going to turn the light on. And she's like, ah. So she had been awake when I left, but when I came back, she had fallen asleep again. She's like, God, you scared the hell out of me. So I kind of freaked her out.
Good point, Stork.
And she was a little upset with me, but she crawled under the covers and I put the light on. And almost immediately I felt something in my leg and I looked down. There's this moth about the size of a dime. And so I stepped on it and killed it and put it away. And I was like, that's what it was. It was a bug. This dog had freaked out. And we have two dogs. The other dog was laying on top of the covers at the end of the bed where she always sleeps. Didn't care. Didn't say peep. She didn't even go. She didn't even come downstairs when I took the other dog out, which is kind of odd. I had to actually, after this whole fiasco was over, I actually made her go outside, the other dog, which she promptly peed and pooed. So that was good. Rest of the night, no problems. Slept through. And yeah, so our dog was totally freaked out by a tiny little moth to the point where she was shaking the whole bed in terror. So these are the dogs that we have protecting us. It's she's the bigger one, by the way. The other one's a part Chihuahua. So I just thought that was funny. And not that I'm not suffering a bit, because I really couldn't go back to sleep after that for about an hour, probably. So a little hazy today, but what else is new? Let's move on to some new stuff watched this week. I actually did watch a few new current type things. And first being Strange New Worlds season 2, number 2. I believe it was titled Ad Astra Per Aspera, maybe? Sounds like a drug, but it's Latin for something like he who will not be named. I don't know what it means. I can't remember. This is one where number one gets off. So number one, Rebecca Romijn, Una, had been taken away at the end of last season because she had hidden the fact that she's this other race that had bioengineering, DNA tampering. And after the eugenics war that brought about Khan and all that stuff, the Federation frowned upon that sort of thing. So this is where Pike had went off in the beginning of the first episode to go and help mount a defense against Number One. So he had done that. And this, they bring in one of her old friends or someone else, the same species, race, whatever, to help her, a lawyer. So it's all basically a courtroom drama episode. And it was pretty good for the most part. I mean, there are parts where I was like actually on the verge of tears, but that, I mean, I can look outside and see a sunset and that these days that'll happen. So I don't know. You can't really put any stock in that, but I thought it was very emotional at points. And I was like, yeah, this is great. This is what Star Trek is and all this stuff. But then it also went too far. It got heavy handed and hokey. So it was like a balance of good and bad to me of like, yeah, like this is powerful and emotional things. And also like, come on, man, just don't go there. It's corny. You're overstepping the line where it makes it corny, which is very disappointing because I think, like I said, I think they walked that line at points and then they were just like, I'm taking a big step over that line right into Cornyville. So I don't know. It was okay episode overall. It could have been better if they just would have held back a bit. Like it just went too far and like it felt a little forced at times. So I don't blame Rebecca Romijn. I think she's really good in the role. I just blame the writing. And I do like the characters in the show. That's what's continuing to impress me is how much I like these new characters, especially. Like, I love the security officer. I'm not going to name names because I just can't remember names well. I love the pilot. I love the nurse, Nurse Chapel. That's a name I know. So I'm digging. Oh, the doctor's great. I'm digging all the new characters and the ones that are more established that I also know are great. Like Anson Mount as Pike pretty much sold the show and continues to. And anytime he's in a scene, he's just so good. Like the way they write that character and the way he acts it, he embodies the principles of Star Trek. It's weird. It like almost like, Picard's my favorite captain, but I think Pike in Strange New Worlds might be my second favorite at this point, which is crazy to say after a season and two episodes, but he's so good. Like he's that balance, the balance and the force of the bravado of Kirk and the other end of the spectrum, which I consider Picard to be the other end of the spectrum. The more scientific or mindful, or I don't know how to put it, just stoic. And I think Pike balances those two characters, and those are two big captains in Star Trek. Let's face it. Yeah, Janeway's great, and Sisko's great, and I think every captain, even freaking Scott Bakula, is great. They write the characters well for sitting or fitting, I should say, the situation that they're in. And but I think this one is just like a great amalgam of two of my favorites, Kirk and Picard. It's just like the best of both and leaving behind some of the other things that aren't so great about them. But he's got his own thing going on too, which is interesting. So I just think it's such a great character, and you can't deny that most of it, well, a lot of it's writing. I won't say most of it, but a lot of it is just the way that Anson Mount performs that character and breathes life into it. So, yeah, if you're not watching Strange New Worlds and you're even a hint of a Star Trek fan, I can't recommend it enough. I also watched Secret Invasion, the first episode of that, season one, episode one. I like seeing Samuel Jackson and Nick Fury be in the forefront. I like that character gets to shine and that actor gets to shine as that character. I just found it boring. Honestly, I thought the episode was kind of dull. I don't know. By the end, I was falling asleep, and it was after I watched Strange New Worlds, admittedly, so it was later in the night. I had a couple cocktails. I'll never tell. But if it was good, like if it really held my interest, I would have fought through it. Not even fought through it. I just would have been into it enough to not even have that be an issue. I didn't think it was that exciting. I wasn't intrigued enough. I don't know. I'm going to keep watching it. I hope it gets better from what I saw in the first episode. It didn't do it for me, this first one. So I don't know. It felt, I'm not going to say Falcon Winter Soldier level, but close to that. Just kind of like, all right, you're doing things and stuff's happening, but why? What's different? I guess it's just not different enough. Like the shows that took chances, I feel I'm way more into, other than Loki. Loki took chances and I just didn't like the chances it took. I really liked Scarlet Witch and Vision, and I liked Hawkeye. And I don't know, it just wasn't dynamic enough. It just felt slow. So I hope we get more from that show. I really was looking forward to it. They made it look good. The trailers wowed me. I didn't get that same thing from actually watching the episode, but we'll see. All right, time for some sports ball. And first up, as always, we start with golf. Keegan Bradley won the Travelers Championship. That was the PGA Tour Championship last week by 3 strokes with 23 under. So it wasn't like a hard course, and it wasn't that exciting finish. Chez Reavie, who I picked to win after Saturday, shit the bed. So fuck him. I don't really have a lot to say about this one. The course looked a lot nicer than the previous week. The LA Country Club, the US Open, it was green. That's nice. It wasn't set in the middle of a city. That was kind of cool. So, but it didn't play difficult, obviously, if the winner is 23 under. That's crazy to me. If you're going to hold a championship where you invite pros, you got to make it a little bit difficult, because things like 23 under, your main viewers, I get it, are other golfers, but they're not shooting 5 under every day. Maybe they get 1 under. Like, just, I don't get it. You got to make these guys a little humble, I think, to make it more interesting and entertaining and relatable. They're already not relatable because this clown made $3.6 million for a win. That's crazy. And it's like a charity event, and they tout all these things as, oh, we give so much to the community and charity and things like that. And they show checks, big checks, and it's like $10,000. Meanwhile, the winner's getting $3.6 million. Get the fuck out. So yeah, that's the one thing that's so hypocritical about these golf tournaments. I like the sport. I like the fact that it's one-on-one, basically. It's you against the world. You fuck up, you pay the price. You're not dragging other people down. You're not getting boosted by other people, really. So, and it's relaxing. It's something you can just lay on the couch and kind of nod off, and who cares? That's what I like about it. But when they try and like, oh yeah, we're such a good thing for the community, we've had over 300 people volunteer. So they're not paying all these people that work for Travelers also, by the way. I'm sure they're really encouraged, let's say, to volunteer for the event, and then they get nothing, and then they pay the winner over $3 million, and second gets over $1.8 million. There was a couple guys that got second place. So yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a big stroke session, and that's what I hate about golf. But then you think about, like, well, you know, baseball players get $20 million a year. So what? Who am I to say that these guys shouldn't? At least they're doing it on their own. But I think it's the whole hypocritical thing about, like, how we're so giving back to community and charity. At least they do something, I guess. But let's not kid ourselves here. So anyway, that happened. Maybe I'm just bitter because my guy didn't win. I made 3 bets. One of them won, 2 of them lost. So I kind of lost 1 bet overall. In other sports, LSU beat Florida 2-1, and the final game was 18-4. to win the 7th College World Series championship. Their 7th, LSU's 7th, I should say. So kudos to you. I always look at this and I'm like, well, yeah, of course, the South gets to play baseball all year, so they should be good at it, right? Yeah, that makes sense to me that LSU and Florida are playing for the championship. They probably have a lot of time to practice and play in the sun and whatever. I saw it. I wrote it down. I don't really care. I did enjoy the one World's, I don't even know it was World Series. It was like this big South championship I talked about a few weeks ago. I did enjoy that when I watched it. If this was on TV and I was in a bar, I'd definitely watch it and probably enjoy it. So I thought it was newsworthy. Other scores this weekend, 3-1, 3-4, and 0-2. Moving on to nerd news. New Super Mario Brothers game coming out for the Nintendo Switch. I watched the trailer for Super Mario Brothers Wonder, as it's called. It's a side-scroller. Kind of had a lot of those lately, but the first Mario Brothers game for Switch was a 3D open world kind of game, so it makes sense to go back to a side-scroller. I get it. They're fun. It looks fun. It kind of gave me, for some reason, like Yoshi Island vibes, which I never really played that game that much, but it's so vibrant, and there's so many things going on, and it looks crazy. It looks nuts. The one thing that was kind of cool, too, is Daisy is a playable character. So you got Mario, Luigi, Random Toad, Peach, and then Daisy. So that's new. And Mario can you can turn into an elephant. And that's I guess that's the big new thing. I don't know. It looks. I'm sure I'll get it because I like those side scrollers, multiplayer at the same time, which I think is it makes those games fun. It makes it interesting when there's up to four people playing on the same screen. It gets crazy. I've never played, I don't think, I don't know, maybe I have actually with four people. I think I played the one where you're cats with four people and it's just chaos, but it's better than waiting for the other person to die and then it's your turn, like in the original Super Mario Brothers. If you're Luigi and you just have to wait until Mario dies before you can play, and then you get a turn and hopefully you last, and then Mario has to wait for it's yeah, it is better than that. And the fact that they can do this, it does make it more fun. So I don't know, I just wonder that, have we done enough of the side scrollers at this point? Do I want another three? I would like a, as much as the one for Switch, I don't know. I have to go back and play that again. I only played it once and it was a long time ago. I enjoyed it, but it didn't feel like the way I felt when I played Mario 64, that first open world experience. It just didn't give me the same feel, and I'm kind of still looking for that. Of course, we've been to space twice with Super Mario Brothers, and that kind of was a new version of Mario 64. But I almost want it scaled back to like, okay, we're doing side scrollers and that's very basic. Yeah, you can add new players and things like that and power-ups. I almost want to go back to the basicness of Mario 64 and just make inventive worlds. And maybe like I said, maybe the Switch game did that and I just don't remember. I'll have to go back and check that out when I'm done with Zelda, of course. That's my caveat for everything, when I'm done with Zelda. Anyway, this is coming out, I believe, in October as well. So it's nuts. Like, I don't hear anything about these games, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Spider-Man 2, October. Super Mario Brothers, October. Jedi Fallen Order 2 is already out. I would have gotten that. I think there's another one that's I mentioned recently that's coming out soon that I'm interested in. I can't remember now, but it's like, man, all these, it feels like there's a drought of like 9 months and then there's all these games that I want at once. It's crazy. Although, you know, Zelda was a game I definitely wanted and was in the middle with said drought, if there was one. Also, a bit of nerd news, especially in the Star Trek circle. Paramount Plus cancels Star Trek Prodigy and will remove the series from the streaming service. So, all right, they canceled it. It's animated. It's for kids, which it's me and Peacock watched the first, I don't know, two episodes. I guess there's a second season. It's going to come out, I think. But definitely whatever season they're working on is coming out. I think it's the second season. Let's put it that way. We weren't into it. It's for kids, though. So I think that's a good way to grow the brand, to get kids into a cartoon to tell you about Star Trek, and then they can seek out other things. And maybe as they grow older, I know there's a Starfleet Academy show coming up that's gonna deal with that age range, which we'll probably check out also. And I think we'll probably dig more than we dug the cartoon. But so it's disappointing from the standpoint of you're taking away an entry level for new fans from that age range, because it makes sense. Like, here's a show for young fans. And then if they like it, especially like, hey, you're using a character, Janeway, that was in another show. If you like her and you like this show, maybe you'll go check out Voyager. And then Voyager just automatically sends you into Deep Space Nine and Next Gen. And then boom, you're hooked. Right. So like, I actually applaud the effort of doing a show for younger kids. It just wasn't for us. I get that if it wasn't popular, Paramount would cancel it. I'm kind of okay with that. What I don't get is removing the series from the streaming service and it's just gone. That makes no sense to me, especially since Paramount Plus carries all the Star Trek stuff. Why do you feel the need to take it away? Let it out there. Let other people find it. Let other people enjoy what's there and build off of that, like I said, into exploring other Star Trek properties. It's how much money / space does it take up on a stream? I don't know, but is it that much? You've got all this garbage stuff that nobody ever watches on these streaming services that just sit there. I would think that since you're creating new properties and ongoing properties, why would you not want every single property to be there? Like, I would have everything from TOS, animated series, every movie, and I think they do. Why would you take this away? I think I did read that CBS seems to be shopping it out to anybody else who wants to continue the series, but that doesn't make sense to me either, because you are the Star Trek property license holder. If you don't have confidence in it, why would you want somebody else to do it? Because they might fuck it up. I don't know if they, you know, maybe they'll do great with it. It seems just like you're chasing a buck, but if you don't have the confidence in it, just shut it down, but keep it on your service where everybody's watching everything Star Trek. It's all there. And I think it's exclusive to it. So I just think that's a big mistake. Like, not canceling it, but taking it away seems like a big mistake. Unless they're going to try and like put it on DVDs or DVDs. Listen to me. In my day, we had VHS tapes. Unless you're thinking about putting on like Blu-ray or whatever and trying to sell it, which also seems like a dick move. If you have everything Star Trek on your streaming service, just leave it there. I think this is stupid, and pretty much fuck you, Paramount Plus, for doing this. Not canceling it, because it costs money to make, and if you're not getting the views, I get it. It's a business, but it can't cost that much just to leave it up there. It can't. So I think that's shitty. That's my two cents. All right, coming soon. Let's move on to that one, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. The Witcher, Season 3, Volume 1. So this is going to be split into two. I want to say 6 episodes each, but maybe less. June 29th on Netflix. That is coming up soon. Jeez, that's like, as of this recording, 2 days away. Thursday. Weird. And then I saw something. I'm looking forward to that. I'm sad that Henry Cavill is going to leave, but we got one more season of Hank. Hank Cavill, as they like to call him, as The Witcher. And this is drawing, I read heavily upon one of the books. So true to the book more so than possibly the other seasons. I don't know. I like The Witcher. I like The Witcher because I played the game, the third game. So I'm kind of into the lore of it. I thought that first season was very confusing, but good. I just wish it would have been more accessible, I guess is the word, because of the time jumps that weren't really, you kind of had to like figure it out for yourself. And I wish that wasn't the case because I didn't. Even as somebody who played the game and was like kind of into it. Maybe it followed the first book. I don't know. But if it did, it was still confusing to watch. Last season, I don't remember too much of Ciri coming into her own more. And this one seems Ciri focused. And that should be. She's a big part of the Witcher thing. But I don't know what to expect once Henry Cavill leaves. I think it's going to tank as soon as he's gone. I expect that. They'll do one season, people will stop watching. And I'm surprised they're not canceling it themselves. It's Netflix. They cancel everything. I'm surprised they didn't just say, well, fuck it. If Henry's gone, we're just going to stop it. But we'll see what old Liam, Thor's brother, can do. But I am looking forward to this season. Also, I saw this, and this is flew under my radar a bit. Hijack, it's called season one. Apple, it's a TV show. Apple TV Plus, is that even a thing? I thought it was just Apple TV, whatever. June 28th, so this is coming out on Wednesday. And the only reason I would even give this, Idris Elba. I'll watch anything Idris Elba's in, really. Except Fast and Furious movies. I watched the damn Lion movie because he was in it. It wasn't that good, but still. And then also this week, Jack Ryan season four, final season of Jack Ryan, June 29th. Again, I think we talked about this on the movie podcast that we do, patreon.com/besottedgeek, if you're looking for it there. I didn't love the last season, but it's a good show, and I'm sad that this is the final season, even after not really liking the last season that much. So I will be watching this, and hopefully it's good, goes out with a bang. And how about this? Prime. This is Prime, by the way. I didn't write that down. I just know it. Amazon Prime. How about this? Instead of making a season, do what they did before and do some movies. You can do a Prime movie about Jack Ryan with John Krasinski and cast. I think that'd be fine. In fact, I think maybe doing a full season is what I didn't like about Jack Ryan. I think it, some of it was drug out. Some of it was hard to follow. If you tighten it up and just do a straight up movie, I know that's not the format these days. People don't like that, but I would like to see it continue. And if that's the format they go with, I think it'd be probably cheaper for them. And I'd still watch it. And you could probably, I don't know how much they follow the books. I've never read a Jack Ryan book, admittedly. I wouldn't even mind if they redid some of the ones that are popular, like Hunt for Red October. And I don't know how you do that in this day and age. So, yeah, you probably couldn't do a lot of them now that I think about it. Like, it doesn't really play, I would guess. But you could switch it around a bit, right? Anyway, I think, yeah, Amazon Prime movies of Jack Ryan would work. I'd watch them, and I'd probably enjoy them more than the show. So that is it for me this week. Thanks for listening. If you want to interact with the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at BesottedGeekPod. Email us, BesottedGeek@gmail.com. Check out our website, BesottedGeek.com. Got a store, tpublic.com/user/besottedgeek. I am going to be putting new stuff up there eventually. Our patreon.com/besottedgeek for old episodes and other hidden gems. That made myself laugh. And you can watch me at play video games, twitch.tv/besottedgeek. I might break out the old Twitch today. As I'm recording this, we'll see. I've had a lot of booze today already. It's 1:30 p.m. And where are your kids at? Anyway, that's it for me. Again, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you next week. See ya.